morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, that was pitiful for the first time in 4 months. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, it's so good to see y'all this morning. And I never thought in my life I'd be glad to be standing in front of a room full of masked people. But it is indeed good to see you today. I'm going to give a lot more explanation this morning than we will have in the subsequent services, but being our first Sunday back, you will notice my mask coming on and off. That's because, one, you probably wouldn't understand me with it on, but secondly, we have made every effort. I have used a tape measure more in the last 4 months than I have ever used in my life. And we are making every effort that when I'm speaking, I am the distance from you that CDC guidelines says is permissible. You'll notice Putt is way back here. He still likes you. He still loves you. He'd rather be down there with you. But in order to try to go with the CDC guidelines again with singing, he is further back in order to try to meet those guidelines. But my mask will be coming on and off. When I'm behind the pulpit, it'll be off, so hopefully you can understand me. When I'm down in the chair down here in the congregation with you, my mask will be on as I will be closer to you. Also, I want to give one explanation this morning about myself. I will be kind of distanced. Well, I will go outside, but I will definitely be paying a very close attention to distancing, because on August 3rd, I've got to have sinus surgery. I've got to have sinus surgery. And so I'm taking all the precautions possible to not pick up anything to delay that surgery. So I will be speaking, but I'll be doing the Walker Wave and be speaking at a distance. But in order to try not to delay that, I'm going to be paying extra attention to being distanced. Also, our restrooms are open, but if you do need to go to the restroom either during or after the service, please exit the sanctuary doors, enter through the office door, and then when you exit, then come back out the office door, and if it's during the service, back in the sanctuary. Please bear with us. I know that this seating you and going and the rotation of which all we're doing and is different, but again, it is trying to follow guidelines to make it as safe as possible to come in. If truth be known and somebody came in with a tape measure, we're not as far apart as we should be, but we're making every effort to make it as much so as we can for the safety of everyone. So can you think of anything that I should have said? Okay, thank you. I want to give a lot of gratitude to Sally, because I've got to admit, researching this kind of thing is not my thing. And I was just getting stressed out about it, which goes against part of what I'm preaching this morning. And she did the research. She did the research for me, and she kept my feet to the fire even when I got ill about it. In order that we could be here this morning in the safest manner possible. So I want to thank her for all the work that she put into this so that we are able to be here this morning. Looking at the announcements this morning, the only announcement that we do have in the bulletin is that the beautiful flowers in the sanctuary are given to the glory of God and in memory of Charlie and Dean Chupp's 43rd wedding anniversary. I do have one more statement that I want to read, but are there any announcements that we should make, however, before I do that? I want to read this one statement so that I don't ramble, but hopefully make the point that I intended. As we begin gathered worship, it is obvious that we are not back to normal. Things that you readily notice or have already noticed include the process of entering and being seated. There's no praise team. There's no choir. There's no congregational singing. We all have on masks. There's sign, if you do have to go to the restroom, you'll see that there are signs all over the place. And we're not hugging, we're not shaking hands, etc. We are aware that there are a variety of opinions as to whether all of this is overkill. We are choosing to err on the side of safety out of love for each other. It is my hope for all of us that we will focus not on how different or weird things are, but on being gathered in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that, Putt will bring our call to worship.
Worship is the outward manifestation of the two great commandments, that we love God and that we love our neighbors. And however strange it may seem this morning, we worship today. We manifest our love for God simply by our presence here. We manifest our love for our neighbors, as strange as that may seem, by staying away from them, by wearing masks. And it is that love that we celebrate this morning. And we always remember that no matter what, God is faithful.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, mercies I see. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we gather once again as your people in your house. We know that as we have been scattered, that we have still been your church. But Lord, you have ordained something special about gathering your people together in the worship of your most holy name. So as we are gathered, we pray that our hearts and minds are in such a place that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and that we may receive that which you would communicate to us, that through this service, your name is praised, and your people are blessed. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
So this morning, we won't sing. But before we don't sing, I want to read just a short statement that a very fine 20th century, 21st century hymn writer wrote. He said, "The sight and sound of a congregation singing praise to God together is a radical witness in a culture that rejects God and embraces individualism. Our songs are the public manifesto of what we believe." For today, and this is me, for today, it may seem somewhat harder to collectively convey our love for God and each other. But that communication is well worth it, whatever the extra effort it takes, because it is the work of worship. While we may not today put pitch or melody to our corporate words of praise, we will do what we can. We may not be able to see the smiles of those around us, but we can see the sparkle in their eyes, and we can hear the smiles in their voices. In the midst of this trial, we will praise God anyhow.
Amen.
So I ask that you join in the litany this morning. And I ask that you put a smile in your voice as you respond. It is one of the great hymns of the church, which we will do without melody. And you will respond, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thyself, best gift divine, to the earth so freely given, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we praise this our hymn of grateful praise.
You see me take my glasses on and off. It's not because my eyes have gotten better. You know why. Every time the glasses fog up. So, in all seriousness, as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we do want to remember all of the situations facing our nation and our world. I do not have to enumerate those for you. We also want to remember Ken Langhoff in a special way. We are thankful that he is back home. He is still undergoing some treatments that will be for several weeks. So, but Ken is faithful. He told me as soon as I can get the recorder to him that he'll be working on it. So we thank him for his ministry, not only in that, but in other ways, and pray for his complete recovery and pray for his strength as he goes through this time. Thinking of prayer requests, you will note that the prayer request was whittled down to just long term, and that the reason for that is that it has been 4 months since we've been able to gather, so we don't know how situations have changed in the prayer requests. If there are concerns that you would like added back to the printed prayer list, email or call the church office, and we will be sure that those are added back. Our most gracious and loving Lord, first, we just want to praise your name. And we know that that seems strange to those who do not know you. For we know that this is a crazy, chaotic time. And Lord, there has been much confusion, sometimes anger, grief, the gamut of the emotions. But Lord, in the midst of it all, you have not gone anywhere. When we have been at our most chaotic in our feelings, you have been there whispering your peace. When we are confused on which way to go, you are with us, guiding the way. When this present situation, this present pandemic, has turned upside down every way we deal with life, from the most mundane to dealing with life-ending and life-altering situations. You're still there. So, gracious Lord, we thank you this morning that regardless of what our emotions may be as we come into this room, you're here. And because you're here, we have hope. Because you're here, we have strength. Because you're here, we have direction. So, Lord, first, may we praise your most holy name. For as I heard one preacher say, the God who brought us in is the same God who's going to take us out of this. And Lord, I would add that you're in the middle of it with us. So gracious Lord, may we praise your name. And as we praise your name, may we be more in a heart set and mindset to receive the confidence and the joy and the hope that only come from you. May we experience a joy and a hope and a confidence that the world cannot understand. Because you are still God, regardless of what is going on. And gracious Lord, you do know the concerns that are upon our hearts. This one that was voiced this morning is an example of what so many are experiencing. But Lord, we thank you that you are stronger than anything that we face. And so, Lord, we pray your healing touch upon every situation that we encounter, not only those physical situations, as important as they are to us, but even more, our spiritual health, our emotional health, our mental health. And Lord, we know the only way that all of those can stay truly healthy is that our focus is on you and not on the attacks. Lord, I thank you for every person that has come this morning. I pray that by being in your house on your day, that you will bless each person in a unique way, in the way that they need to experience you as they gather in your house this day. And Lord, we do pray for our nation. We pray for our world. You know what they all are. They range from relational issues to just pure political issues to life-threatening health issues. And Lord, only you can bring healing to this world and to this land. But may our hearts be in such a place that we may be instruments of that healing. And Lord, as always, we do want to remember our men and women that are standing in the gap protecting us this morning in civilian roles and military roles. And gracious Lord, those in the civilian roles face a task now of even the public turning against them in so many ways. May you protect them physically. May you protect them mentally, as they protect us. And gracious Lord, we do thank you for Walker Church. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We pray that as you have blessed us, even in unique times, we will be even more of a blessing. And when we leave this place, we pray that you lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and that you will bring us back together to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And at this time, Sally is going to play a song that does remind us that that victory is ours, because our victory is in Jesus.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can
returns or calls me home. Here in the love of Christ I stand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the love of Christ I stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you, Pat. Our scripture lesson this morning is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, and Romans 8, 28. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. And when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When she was 13, Lauren Blakemore was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, a type of cancer in which tumors invade the bones and often lead to amputation. She had 14 rounds of chemotherapy and 25 rounds of radiation. Throughout her battle, Lauren was comforted with a multicolored quilt that a neighbor, Miss Mildred, had made for Lauren when she was a baby. Lauren snuggled with this Miss Mildred blanket through childhood and then through nausea, fatigue, sleepless nights that came with battling cancer. Lauren's dad went on a mission trip to India, and he came back and he told Lauren about visiting a children's cancer ward in India. He told her about the kids. Immediately, Lauren began to raise money by speaking to Rotary Club meetings and schools and the like, because she wanted every single child in that ward to have a Miss Mildred blanket. She says, because chemotherapy makes you cold all the time. Well, thanks to women in Bosnia working in a program called Peace Crafts, a cottage industry started by missionaries, they made the blankets for Lauren. And now each child's bed in the cancer ward is now warmed with a Miss Mildred blanket. To quote Lauren, she said, "When I was first diagnosed with cancer, I knew God had a plan for my life. This is part of that plan." That's faith. That's faith. And that is faith in action. I've been honest with you more than once when considering this type of subject. I do not profess the wisdom to know what tests are directly sent by God and what are circumstances that are caused by human sin and human free will, but are taken over by God to bring about God's greater purpose. I don't profess the wisdom to be able to tell you, except for maybe in hindsight, which may be which. But the end result is the same. In my personal theological conclusions, I don't believe that God sends every circumstance directly. That God gives humans choices, and the choices we make can have positive or negative results. But at the same time, God has a plan for our lives, and God will determine the conclusion of history. Now, whether your personal belief is that God directly determines every circumstance or that God is at work even when humans make awful choices, there is a common denominator. Either way, faith is required. Faith is required to remember that God is always present, that God is never surprised, that God is always at work to bring about God's purpose, to bring about good even out of the most negative of circumstances. If God sends a circumstance to you, and when I say you, I'm talking to me too. If God sends a circumstance to you that brings heartache or grief, do you still trust God? If God's allowing human beings to make choices that are contrary to the will of God, but nonetheless allowed by God, and those decisions bring headaches, heartache, or grief, do you still trust God? The COVID-19 pandemic has certainly produced some situations that I never anticipated experiencing. And some of the ramifications seem to have no end in sight. Now, opinions range on this thing. Thank you for participating as you have this morning. Thank you for following the directions that we have given this morning, because I can imagine, I'm not going to say who is who, but I can imagine somebody in here is saying, I wanted to come to church and so I'm going to follow the rules, but man, they sure are in overkill this morning. I can imagine somebody saying that, and that's okay. And then I can imagine some people are sitting in here and saying, I don't think John measured out these seats too good, and I think we're a little bit close. Maybe he didn't take it serious enough. That's okay. Opinions range, and to tell you the truth, I don't know enough to have a real opinion. I never anticipated when I went into the ministry, what is it now, 39 years ago? 39, 40 years ago, I never anticipated receiving emails from the bishop saying, we recommend you don't have church. And then I further never anticipated that when we did start church back, starting back under the circumstances that we have started back. I never anticipated it. And further, one of the most far-reaching effects of this pandemic, besides the illness itself, is persons feeling isolated, lonely. Persons have felt exiled to their homes, and it seems it would never end. I have noted, as many other pastors, as well as counselors, as well as social workers, have said that this time is revealing to us where we're putting our hope. On the negative side, I've seen, as you have seen and heard from more than one source, speak of how alcohol and drug abuse have increased exponentially. And sadly, some articles have even joked about it, about the increased consumption. But sadly, some people don't know any other way to cope. they've not been shown a better way. Others are trusting the God of medicine. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe medicine is a gift from God to humanity. But many in our society have placed such a trust in medicine itself that they have freaked out. They've been baffled when we just couldn't snap a finger and come up with a cure and come up with a vaccine that just takes this thing away. Because after all, we're humans. We're Americans. We're the smartest people that God ever created. And we know all this medical stuff. So we ought to just be able to snap our finger and medicine ought to be able to make it go away. And when it has not been able to, fear has taken over. But on the positive side, I read how stores, Walmart, sold out of Bibles. Churches found ways to keep worship alive. I've heard persons say that they have read their Bibles more than ever before, and they have listened to or watched more services than ever before. And now we have finally returned to gathered worship or in-person worship, gathering once again. And you don't know how glad I am to be preaching in front of you instead of picturing you in my mind looking at empty pews in a solitary recorder. It's good to be back. But yes, there's an elephant in the room. It feels really strange in some ways, doesn't it? I mean, might as well admit it, face up to it, look at it eyeball to eyeball. It feels strange. It feels weird. And some will say even unnecessary. But out of love for each other and respect for those in leadership, we follow the guidelines, looking to the time when we can worship and we can fellowship in the manner to which we are accustomed. And that's why I was felt led to Jeremiah 29:11. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope." The context of this promise is the Babylonian exile has started. Jeremiah was not in the first wave of the exiles, and he writes a letter of encouragement to the exiles. And to tell you the truth, if you go back and you read this whole situation, if I had received the letter, to me it would have come across as Jeremiah saying, "Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news." The good news is exile is going to end. Bad news is it's going to take 70 years. Basically a lifetime. The good news is Israel is going to come back home. Bad news is it's going to be a lot of your children or your grandchildren. A lot of you aren't coming back home. But God, through Jeremiah, encourages the Israelites to establish lives in the midst of the exile, promising, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." God is calling the Israelite exiles to trust that the next generation will see the fulfillment of God's restoration of Israel. How long will it be before we get back to normal? Pardon the grammar, but I got no clue. I have no idea. But I do know some things. I know that Jesus promised that whether two or three are gathered, He is there. So when you sit down with your spouse and you listened to the worship service or you watched other worship services, Jesus was there. Jesus has promised wherever two or three are gathered, He is there. I know that Jesus is here right now. I know that David promised and reminded, I know that David reminded us in the 23rd Psalm that even when we walk through the darkest, scariest valley, we do not fear because God our shepherd is with us and God our shepherd protects us. I know that the psalmist celebrated that whether we're in the valley or on the mountain, we do not leave God's presence. Psalm 139 verses 7 through 12. And I know that Jesus' last words to the apostles, and I believe His final words on earth now to us, "Lo, I'm with you always." So this morning, I don't know a whole lot. But I'm so glad I don't have to. I'm so glad this morning that we do not have to be stressed out over what's next. We don't know the plan. We don't have to know the plan. Because we know the one with the plan. I'm going to repeat that. If you want to write it down, it's okay. Otherwise, you can email me and I'll tell you. But I want you to remember that. We don't have to know the plan because we know the one with the plan. And now I'm fixing to step on my own toes. So if I step on yours, I'm stepping on mine first. Thus, we can relax. We can relax in the midst of the reality of the chaos. We can relax in the midst of the uncertainty because God has the plan. God is here. And God has not left the building. Metaphorically or "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Though we may not understand, though we may not like the events of a given moment, we can relax and know that God's plan is for our ultimate good. And I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His promise, His purpose." Now somebody may wonder, what in this whole chaotic, confusing, deadly, life-altering situation is good? Well, I don't know that I can call it good. But I can say that some good has come out of it as I have learned some lessons. And so I'm only going to speak for myself. But some of what I've experienced through this situation has caused me to hope. Now hear me now. That we never get back to normal. Say what? You want us in here and mask for eternity? No. But I hope we never get back to normal in that I now appreciate the gathering of the church more than I used to. I have to confess, having been a preacher for nearly 40 years, 39 years, somewhere in there, Sadly, and God forgive me, there had been many Sundays when it had become routine. It's Sunday morning. Time to go preach. It had become routine. But I have missed y'all. Yeah, I preached every Sunday since this thing, but I have not been with you. I have not conversed in the Scripture with you. I now appreciate the gathering of the church more than I used to. I now realize again what I never should have forgotten, that the opportunity and the ability to gather is precious. I hope to never return to normal, if normal means going to church is just part of the routine. And none of y'all probably suffer from this, but I've gotten a disease since I've gotten older. Well, not really a disease, it's more of an allergy. I'm allergic to change. The older I get, and I know some of y'all are laughing, I know I'm younger than a lot of you, but the older I get, the less I like change. But like it or not, this situation has forced change. And I've had to depend on persons more creative than myself to keep the ministry of the church going. I don't want to go back to normal. If going back to normal means I'm so stuck in my ways that, and I am so comfortable in my ways that I can't see a new opportunity for ministry on the forefront, right in front of me, because I'm stuck in my ways and I refuse to change. If that's getting back to normal, I don't want to go back. And this situation has caused me to reflect upon why I or we as a congregation do the things we do. In other words, why do we have worship every Sunday morning? Hopefully one day, why do we have Sunday school every Sunday morning? Is it just a program we sandwich between the two services? Why do we do it? Why do we have Wednesday night? I can only speak for me, but it's not because I need to gain weight. Why do we have United Methodist Men? Why do we have United Methodist Women? Why do we have a choir? Why do we have a praise team? Why do we do what we do? I don't want to go back to normal if normal means going through the motions, even though they may be good things. I do not want to get back to normal if normal means going through the motions without realizing and appreciating the purpose of the motion. And I know God has taught you some lessons. And I would urge you, don't lose those lessons when we finally do get back to normal. Take this situation, whatever it has been for you and continues to be for you, and allow God to love you. Allow God to teach you. And allow God to bring something good from it for you and Walker Church. Remember these scriptures and allow them to guide you as we navigate these unusual times. And in so doing, may we emerge as stronger individuals and a stronger congregation. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, when we look at the world, just one of the things going on right now would have been enough. But all of it at one time? Lord, 2020 has been a year to remember, that's for sure. Yet, Lord, help us to not lament, but to look to you. Help us to look to you and to receive the lessons that you would teach us. Help us to receive the good that would come out of it. So that when we do finally come out on the other end, we'll come out closer to you than we ever been before. We'll come out loving each other more than we ever did before. We'll come out the strongest church through the power of your Holy Spirit that we've ever been. And we know we can if we're relying on you. Because we know you know the plans you have for us, so we don't have to worry about it. And you know that regardless of the source of the struggles that come upon our lives, we know that you're working them to our good because we all love you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.